It is time for another edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, bringing you a new edition of the podcast, one that will shed some light on the 2016 fantasy football campaign. That's right, we're diving right back into the wonderful world of the NFL. We're going to get to the WWE just a little bit here at the end of the podcast because we're going to go over something that is coming up on the site in a few days. But first, the social media rundown. Check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter, at Joe M's Right Arm. You can search us out on Facebook as well by simply searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. It's always a great time to be able to talk football. It's been a while since we've been able to have meaningful discussions about football. I've said it before in previous podcasts. This offseason has been just hideously boring. And I am happy to finally dive into some shred of football talk. Anyhow, a couple things we need to get to before we get to the top 10 fantasy football players in 2016. Number one, new endeavor going on that I would be remiss if I did not tell you about. It's a new podcast called Exit 50A. Again, Exit 50A podcast. That's the name of the podcast. It's a new one that you can find out there on iTunes and Stitcher. Be sure to give it a listen. It is an enjoyable, entertaining, fun podcast. I know the gentlemen who do it, Derek, Rob, and Kaz. They are really having a great time with it and putting it together. The second episode is coming up, I believe, sometime in the next week or so. So they'll be back at it again. Fun stuff, great stuff, and certainly give it a try if you are big into pop culture news, politics, technology, things of that nature. That will be the podcast for you. So they have some humorous takes of things, and I definitely recommend it. Also, their Twitter account, Exit 50A Podcast, on Twitter as well. And I believe they're on Facebook, too, if you search Exit 50A Podcast. So congratulations to those gentlemen. I'm sure I will see them out there on the highways and byways of the podcasting world. But anyhow, on to the major issue of the week before we get to the fantasy football stuff. Tom Brady did not win his appeal, as you may know by now. He will, in all likelihood, barring a Hail Mary given to him essentially by the Supreme Court, he's not getting anywhere near the football field in the first four games. So they open with that road game at Arizona, and then it's three straight games at home against Miami. Then on Thursday night against Houston, and then the following Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. So they will, unfortunately, be without Tom Brady for those first four games, it looks like, and he'll be back in week five at Cleveland when the Patriots head into the dog pound or whatever it is they're calling it. I'll tell you one thing about this schedule for New England. When he comes back, and this is why, everyone's like, oh, well, he's just going to come back in and clean house. Listen to this schedule when he gets back. The first four games. At Cleveland, that should be a win. Cincinnati, I mean, that's not easy, but you should win that one. Then at Pittsburgh, and then at Buffalo, and then if you want to go to the fifth game, Seattle comes to New England. And you know what I'm sure they have a lot of angst over Super Bowl 49 on their mind still. Because they will be tired of seeing Malcolm Butler by the end of that week in November. So when Brady gets back into the mix of things here, he's really going right into the teeth of the schedule. So the idea that he's just going to come back in and clean house, that might happen, but he's going to have to do it against some tough competition to do just that. A couple of other things of interest as it relates to the Patriots and Brady not being there for the first four games. I think you're going to hear, obviously, a lot of comparisons to 2008 when Matt Cassel took over for an injured Brady. Brady tore up his knee in the opener against Kansas City that year, and then the Patriots went 11-5, but managed to not only not win the AFC East, and it's the only year during this run of Brady and Belichick that they did not win the AFC East, but they also did not make the playoffs that year. So a couple of things here about that particular year, because you're going to hear that thrown around a good amount as far as, well, they did it without him once, they can do it again. First off, that team obviously had a great support system. Not that this one doesn't, but the defense was very good for that New England team. Remember, you're talking about the remnants of a team that went 16-0 in the regular season the following season. So I don't think that is a great. Everyone gives Matt Castle the credit, but geez, I mean, they give Belichick the credit, obviously, but you know. The defense had something to do with it, too. I'm not sure this particular defense is going to be that great. They're going to have to score some points. That year with Brady out, I believe they were actually, this is crazy, they were fourth in the NFL in scoring in 2008. So that's the one thing about that team that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. You think, well, they didn't score points. Where they did not score points, and let me just double check, fact check, yes, fourth in the NFL in points. In 2008, where they ran into problems really in that season was against good competition. You know, they struggled against Miami, who eventually would win the division. They split games with them. They lost at home to Pittsburgh. You know, they lose on the road at Indianapolis, 18-15. They just weren't a great football team that year. Obviously, when you lose Tom Brady, I mean, they went 11-5 without him. He comes back and plays in that season, you know, who knows? You're looking at maybe a 13, 14, 15 win type of season for them potentially if he were to play in that year. He did not. They managed to get by and they got better as the season went along. They're not necessarily going to have that luxury here this time around with him missing those first four games of the year. So if you have a Patriot from a fantasy perspective, you're just going to have to grin and bear it through the first 4 weeks. I don't think Garoppolo is going to be in a situation like Brady was in the AFC title game against Denver, where he's dropping back to throw 60 times. You're not going to have that type of setup. They're going to need to run the ball effectively, but how they run the football, you know, LeGarrette Blount, Deion Lewis, I mean, where do you go running game-wise if you're the Patriots? So that will be another interesting aspect of that offense, because a lot of the backs that they have, those guys are pass catchers. James White, Deion Lewis, who's coming off of an injury. So you might see a lot of short passing. You could see Garoppolo not go back as much as Brady, but I think they're going to have to ratchet it up a little bit just to maybe give him a chance to be a little bit competitive. I think they'll do some safe things, but you can't go in the shell on the other side of it just because Jimmy Garoppolo is new. Okay, before we get to the top 10 fantasy football players of 2016, let's do a quick recap of the top 10 from 2015, just to give you an idea of what happened last year. Now, the breakdown for 2015 as it relates to fantasy football, okay, a couple things you have to remember. Number one, this is standard scoring, and number two, all positions encumbered in this particular description. So we start off with number 10. In 2015, in standard scoring, DeAndre Hopkins, the standout receiver for the Houston Texans, 111 catches, 1,500 yards plus receiving, and 11 touchdowns for Mr. Hopkins. A lot of mouths to feed there in Houston. Now, I don't know if there are going to be a lot of good mouths to feed, but there are a lot of mouths to feed now. Lamar Miller's there. You have Will Fuller, the rookie receiver. You also have Braxton Miller as well. So they have a lot of different things going on there in Houston, and of course Brock Osweiler in the mix at quarterback. Can Brock Osweiler give them something really that hodgepodge collection of Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett could not last year, and that's some level of consistency at the quarterback position. So if anything, you'd have to like DeAndre Hopkins to be a little bit higher this year. Number 9, Rob Gronkowski. Big year for Gronk. 72 catches, 1,176 yards, 11 touchdowns. He, incredibly, after that gruesome injury against the Denver Broncos, he only missed one game that season. And it was that that bizarro Sunday game against the Eagles where New England lost to the Eagles at home. He did come back. And look, I mean, the Patriots, the last 3 or 4 weeks of the regular season, they're really a shell of themselves in that final month of the year. Just did not look right. And they were just, you could see, trying to hold on and gather themselves until the postseason. So that kind of hurt Gronk, I think, down the stretch from the standpoint that offense was not full tilt and full go in the passing game. But, you know, with the Brady situation, that could very well affect and impact the numbers of Gronkowski to start. So he might be a little slow out the gates, depending on how much confidence Josh McDaniels and the offensive game planning of the Patriots has in Jimmy Garoppolo. Number eight, Odell Beckham Jr., major year for him, of course, 96 catches, 1,450 yards, 13 touchdowns for OBJ. Huge year for Odell Beckham Jr. Again, no reason to see why he could not repeat that again in a Giants uniform. Should be another outstanding outing for him in 2016. Allen Robinson coming in at number seven. That's right, the Jacksonville Jaguars with a player finishing in the top 10. Allen Robinson, the wide receiver for the Jaguars. 80 catches, 1,400 yards, and 14 touchdown receptions. Huge year for Allen Robinson. He may not actually be the biggest surprise, at least in reference to where they finished. I think this is the biggest surprise in the top 10, at least for me. Not from a talent standpoint, but just what you thought of him going into the year. Maybe Brandon Marshall at number six. 109 receptions on the year, over 1,500 yards in receiving and 14 touchdowns. Huge year for Brandon Marshall. Really that passing game fronted by Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, well, he's still not under contract with the Jets as of yet. We'll see where that goes as this offseason moves on and as we head towards training camp here, which starts up pretty soon. Number five, no surprise here, the only quarterback in the top 10, Cam Newton. MVP year for Cam Newton, 35 touchdowns through the air, and then another 10 on the ground, 45 total touchdowns for Cam Newton. That's a pretty good year. Adrian Peterson in at number four, turned 30 during the last season, carried the football 327 times, and rushed for 1,485 yards and 11 touchdowns. Not a major threat in the receiving department, just 30 receptions. Overall, about 360 touches on the year. That threshold where guys kind of fall apart historically has been 370, so he kind of closed in on that number, didn't quite get there. Number three, Julio Jones. Listen to these numbers. These are video game numbers. 136 catches for Julio Jones, 1,871 yards receiving, 8 touchdowns. That is crazy, and that was the highest number in the NFL in receiving, even more than the guy who finished at number one, which we'll get to in a second. Devontae Freeman at two, 1,056 yards rushing, 11 rushing touchdowns as well. He caught 73 passes for 578 yards as well last year, along with 3 touchdown receptions. So he was a busy guy out of the backfield for the Atlanta Falcons. Rumblings that he will see a reduced workload this season, perhaps in favor of Tevin Coleman. Keep your eye on that if you're going to draft Devontae Freeman. And number one in 2015, Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 136 catches, 1,834 yards, almost mirroring the season by Julio Jones. 10 touchdown receptions, also gave you value in the return game as well with a punt return for a touchdown. So a huge year for Antonio Brown, one that has given him, in some people's eyes, the top spot in the 2016 rundown of the top 10 heading in to the new NFL season. And with that, that brings us to the top 10 of 2016. But first, a brief pause for the cause, and then we'll get right back into it. This is the JMRA Podcast. Stay tuned. Back here on the JMRA Podcast, it is time for the top 10 players in fantasy football for the 2016 season. So we'll go down this list relatively quickly. We'll give you a little red flag along the way for each guy, if there is one. Number 10, Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots. Clearly the first four games of the year are going to be a major issue with him, with Jimmy Garoppolo. That is a looming cloud over his head, and whether or not he can be as productive as we know he can be for the Patriots. Certainly Garoppolo will try to find him. It's just a matter of whether Garoppolo can do it as easily and as seamlessly as Tom Brady did for the Patriots. Also, the health an issue as well. So those are the two main issues to keep your eye on. If he can elude those two issues, then obviously he'll be the top tight end in the NFL again and in fantasy again. Number 9, A.J. Green of the Cincinnati Bengals. Love A.J. Green's game. The only thing you don't love is that quarterback he has to deal with, the one, the only, Andy Dalton, who actually had a pretty good year last year, but that is always kind of the elephant in the room with the Cincinnati Bengals and A.J. Green. You wonder if he can overcome any deficiencies that Dalton displays throughout the year, but it's A.J. Green, and he's been able to do just that throughout his career quite often. He comes in at number 9. Number 8, Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings. You wonder here if we see a similar situation to what happened to Marshawn Lynch out in Seattle. You kind of saw that transition and changing of the guard eventually from the running game of Seattle kind of ceding way and giving way to Russell Wilson kind of taking over matters in Seattle. You wonder if that will be the same case in Minnesota with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback and Adrian Peterson. I don't think it's going to happen as quickly, barring injury, of course, in Minnesota as it did Seattle. So I look for another solid year from AP, but not as solid maybe as we've seen in years past because, hey, look, this guy is is getting to be north of 30 years old now. So those type of years where he's lights out, going to be very tough. Number 7, DeAndre Hopkins. Love him for the Houston Texans. No reason really to be against him other than it might take a few weeks for that Houston Texans offense to figure out what to do and how to do it. So many new faces, so many guys playing together for the first time, and of course a new quarterback in Brock Osweiler. So there's a lot of chemistry issues that need to be figured out there. Number 6, this guy is my sleeper for maybe the number 1 pick in the 2017 fantasy draft, and that is David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals. David Johnson had some really impressive performances last year, most notably his game in the Eagle against the Eagles where he rushed for 3 touchdowns and also ran for nearly 200 yards on the night. He was a monster that evening against the Eagles, and that really is not the whole reason why you like his upside, but, you know, that game, 29 carries, 187 yards, and the 3 touchdowns, I think gives you a glimpse. He caught, as a part of his season last year, he caught 36 balls as well. Look, the numbers from last season aren't a lot to make you think that he would be the number 1 guy maybe this year if you just look at the raw numbers. But if you look at how the season progressed for him, obviously he got much better and much more comfortable as the season went on, starting with that game in Week 12 against the St. Louis Rams, 22 carries, 99 yards. And then after that, 92 yards against the Vikings, and then the big one, the 187 against the Eagles. So the ability is there for David Johnson, 6'1", 224. He is a house at the running back spot for the Arizona Cardinals. I think he could be in store for a monster year for the Cardinals as they try to make their way to the Super Bowl, and that very well might be on that guy's back. Number 5, Julio Jones. You know, you look at really these top 5 guys, the only thing that's really going to keep them away, I think, from a top 5 spot is either injury or inconsistency, and certainly with Julio Jones, you certainly worry about the inconsistencies of the Atlanta passing attack, and he's been banged up a little bit over the past few years, but with Julio Jones, the athleticism, the ability is so, so impressive that you look at him, and he's a guy, I think, that, you know, he could be easily the number 1 wide receiver in fantasy football, which for some people is good enough to be the number 1 overall player in fantasy football this year. So Jones coming off of that monster 2015 season. I kind of put him in the same boat as Antonio Brown, which we'll get to that point in a second as far as maybe a red flag going into this year. Odell Beckham Jr. with the Giants, what's not to like? I mean, he is rock solid there. The one thing that you have to be maybe a little bit leery of, Josh Norman now is in the division twice a year, and that's the guy who essentially got Odell Beckham Jr. suspended for a game last season for his antics against the Panthers when he and Norman had really that mano-a-mano duel throughout the game. And really a contentious battle between those two that eventually led to Beckham getting suspended and really dampering the playoff hopes of many fantasy owners. Number three, Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like I said earlier, some people feel like he is the number one guy in fantasy football this year. I'm not a big guy on taking players after career years. He falls certainly under that umbrella. The same for Julio Jones. You have to be careful with those guys because it's not like you would think they're going to come out and have a year where they catch 150 balls and go for 2,000 yards. To me, that's just not a plausible scenario. And one of the reasons why for Pittsburgh that that's not a plausible scenario, at least to me, for him to improve upon what he did last year is the guy at number two, Le'Veon Bell. I have Bell certainly maybe a little higher than maybe his 2015 would dictate you should put him at because of the injuries coming off of a significant knee injury, and he has to try to battle back from that, and we'll see if he can. And I think he'll be able to. If he can put together the talent after that injury, man, he's as good as it gets potentially in fantasy football. Dual threat, running the football and catching the football as well. Could be a major force for Pittsburgh. And if he is, that means you're probably not going to get as big of a push from Antonio Brown. Remember, folks, there's only one football out there on the field. So if Le'Veon Bell's having a monster year, then it's going to be tougher for Antonio Brown to have a monster year as well. And then my number one guy, the great Todd Gurley of the Los Angeles Rams. Look, Gurley's team and support system, not so great in Los Angeles with what's around him. But you look at the flashes of brilliance that he put forth last season at times. My goodness, I mean, that is certainly enough to, I think, merit considering him for one of the top spots in fantasy football this particular season. When he was locked in, you know, that breakaway ability that we don't see from that many running backs anymore, he has that. And the ability to turn short gains into long plays. And that, as you will learn in fantasy football, becomes so, so important because, folks, look, it's difficult to nickel and dime your way to fantasy football wins. You're going to need those big plays. And how about Gurley? He finished 16th overall in fantasy, 1,100 yards, just a tad over 1,100 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns on the ground last year. He only caught 21 balls for 188 yards in 12 starts in 13 games overall. But he was a force when he was on last season. Oh, my goodness. Just look at some of his splits during the course of the year, game by game. He had that streak over 4 weeks against Arizona, Green Bay, Cleveland, and San Francisco, all for 100 yards, but all for at least 128 yards during that span. So I think you have to be impressed with that. And the yards per carry coming in just a little bit under 5 yards per. I mean, he was huge. Those 4 weeks that he topped 100 yards rushing in a row, averaged 7 yards a carry against Arizona, 5 yards a carry against Green Bay, 6 yards a carry against Cleveland, 6 yards a carry against San Francisco. After that, though, it was a little bit quieter for him. He only had one 100-yard game on the ground the rest of the way against Detroit, 16 carries, 140 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So a little bit of a slow finish for Gurley, but, man, showing you the ability to perhaps be the number one guy in fantasy football in 2016. He's my number one dude. I know some people think it's Antonio Brown. I still think running backs are the way to go, but just because of the number of times the good ones will touch the football. You know, Todd Gurley, they don't want to overwork him, but you look at it, he's going to touch the football in a good week probably 20 to 35 times. And if that's happening, I mean, you have to like your chances with his breakaway ability. So that will do it for our top 10 look at the top 10 guys in fantasy football in 2016. Okay, as we head down the home stretch of this show, a quick heads up on what's to come on the blog in the next few days. We're actually going to do a live blog of the WWE draft that is coming on Tuesday. I love wrestling drafts. They don't do it nearly enough. The first major one was in 2002 when Vince McMahon and Ric Flair were the owners of each brand and had the draft for Raw and SmackDown. It was so enjoyable, and I love anytime I can weave wrestling and football together. So I will have a live blog coverage of that on Tuesday night when they do SmackDown Live on the USA Network. I would suspect that Seth Rollins will be the number one pick overall with the WWE Championship in tow. He's wrestling Dean Ambrose on Monday night for the title, which is really weird considering they have a title match next Sunday. Not this coming Sunday, but Sunday, July 24th. So I think something's at work there potentially with the title to get it to Rollins before the draft. He goes number one, and then after that, who knows? So I think that's what you're going to have take place, and we'll see from there. But we will document it as a part of our live blog for the WWE draft. I will find some way to make Mel Kiper references, Todd McShay, all those type of things. We'll weave it in to the live blog. That will do it for this edition of the JMRA podcast. We'll have more previews and things of that nature of NFL action to come in the weeks to come before we jump back into the NFL season. Happily, it's right around the corner, folks. Training camp, preseason, and then, of course, the regular season. Until next time, have a good one, everybody. Reminder, you can check us out on the blog at joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter, at joemsrightarm, Facebook, searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. Also on Vine, too, so check that out if you get a chance. Instagram, you know the drill by now if you're listening to these podcasts. If not, find us and like us or friend us or whatever you do to show your support. And leave a comment on this podcast, too. Let me know what you want to hear. That'd be cool. Anyhow, in the meantime, until next time, happy football, everybody.